Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Ah, he got it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards! Iowa!
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Don't miss a thing from the world of college football. Stay right here for College Gridiron on WFUV Sports.
It's a sad day, folks. Very sad day, but also a happy day. We are now post-national championship game. Indiana is the 2026 College Football Division I National Champions, upsetting the Miami Hurricanes 27-21 on the Hurricanes' home turf. But that does unfortunately mean that the season is over. There is no more college football for going on about 7 months now. There will not be another college football game, which is kind of sad to think about. But I guess first I should probably introduce who we are, you know, because obviously you found us, but you still don't know who we are. So this is the final episode of College Gridiron for the 2026 season. I am Barrett Spreitzer, joined by Tucker Austin, Isabella Terracini, and Thomas Tisdale may chime in every now and then in the booth.
Oh, come on. Get him in there. What's up, Thomas?
What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, we got the mic working. Perfect. So yeah, I mean, we're basically running a full four-man crew here. We were talking a little bit before the show, but this will be, you know, basically for the last 2 years, this has kind of been the crew you've heard probably most on this show. For those of you who listen to it, this will be the last one where you're gonna hear the four of us, and definitely the last one where you'll hear myself and Isabella. And who knows what Thomas is going abroad. He's going all over. He's a world traveler, so who knows what he'll be doing.
Watching football at 2 a.m.
You'll at least hear Tucker. Tucker may be running a one-man show next year.
Who knows? I'll rope in some more staff members.
Someone's got it.
There are some people who know some college ball around.
Like
I could probably find it. Yeah, surely.
Yeah. Like, there's got to be someone, right?
I'll hold it down, though. I'll hold it down for you.
Don't forget us.
Absolutely not. Come on. It's going to be like weekly shout-outs.
But yeah, it's very sad to think about. This has been a very exciting.
Dude, it's a really bittersweet end to the season, I think. At least for us, because like I think we got the good ending
with Indiana
being the national champions.
I think either way it would have been an interesting ending. I mean, the game was incredible. I do quickly want to pat myself on the back. Last week I came on here and said that the only reason Miami was not going to win is because they had Carson Beck at quarterback. And I think a lot of that played out. I mean, for a lot of the times it seemed like they were a throw or two away from
what's so
really
sad
competing.
About that is that's like that was a safe take.
Yeah.
that was a very safe take.
And I mean Carson Beck is that was a terrible throw at the end of the game there. Just I mean, he underthrew him by like 15 yards.
It just didn't put enough
juice
on.
Horrendous throw.
That had to be back shoulder, and it was just not. Was it going to land at like the 3 yard line?
It wasn't even going to get there. No. It got picked off at like,
or not even. Yeah, no,
it got
even
picked
sooner.
Off at like the 12.
Yeah, you're right.
His receiver was on like the 8.
Yeah,
so
not even close. And that was supposed to be an end zone shot.
Yeah,
all
I mean,
day.
I don't remember. I don't remember which receiver it was. I believe that it was Keelan Marion, and I think he came out and said he just never saw the ball. So he tried to take a little bit of blame for that.
I mean,
even
if
he
got picked off before he even turned his head around.
Exactly, he's saying he never saw it, because obviously,
but that's not on him. There's no way that's on him. He's like mid route. He's still actively running the route to the back corner of the end zone where the ball is supposed to be.
No, it was.
How's he supposed to know that it's 12 yards short?
I mean, obviously, Jamari Sharp like obviously saw it and pulled up pretty significantly because he was. I mean, he was right there with the route the whole way.
Yeah,
but he obviously turned his head early to look.
It was also double coverage.
Yeah, it was
threw
not
a back shoulder
throw.
Fade into double coverage with the national championship
had,
on the line and threw a 12-yard short.
They still had like I think like 50 seconds on the clock too or something. Or
yeah, no, that it was rushed.
There was a
too.
Decent
That's
amount of time
like,
on the clock still. Yeah.
I think they got put in a pressure cooker because Indiana went forward on 4th and 5 and scored because Mendoza just.
Power throw.
Complete Heisman moment, right. By the way. That like I've already seen concept art of like a statue of Mendoza like diving over like all the players. There's like guys mauling each other on the ground, and Mendoza's just like supermanning over the whole pile. What a shot. Yeah. I mean, we got that some great photos of that.
What a fourth down, you know?
It was fourth down. He had already gotten the first, like, by plenty. He could have just gone down, and then it would have been first and goal, time, like, melting off the clock. They could have easily just walked that to the finish, punched it in with a running back, and then given Miami no time. But instead, Mendoza was just like, dude, I want a Heisman Trophy. Let me go score.
Let me go do it. And then let me have something to mention in my little LinkedIn post that I'm going to post in the morning.
Oh, yeah, and then in complete Mendoza fashion, as he's been the entire time that we've known about him, he just shouts out everybody but him on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Like,
that was an incredible LinkedIn
post.
My
teammates had like the awesome opportunity to bring home the national championship to Indiana. Like, did not even mention the fact that he won. Or that he won MVP until you go to like his achievements and it just says national championship MVP.
Until you scroll down way further on his LinkedIn.
Exactly.
Because my friend who does
this
nothing.
Mr.
Nothing
Humility.
Though. Yeah.
This is going to be he might be the most oddball Las Vegas Raider.
He might bring like a new
I mean, that's
culture.
Difficult.
Because the Raiders just have in terms of just having like a, I don't know how to describe it other than like an evil fan culture, if that makes any sense. Like, for like the Raiders fans are just like,
evil?
Similarly to Devils fans, where they're just like very angry, and their vibe is just much more aggressive support
than Taylor Swift
passionate
and Travis
support.
Kelce. It's gonna bring a completely new vibe.
What if it does?
What if that results
in team success? I don't know. We'll say, what if the Raiders don't even get him? What if the Raiders? I mean, the Raiders definitely are going to get him, right?
If it's not the Raiders, it's going to be New York Stock Exchange.
There's no way the Raiders like trade out of Mendoza at the stock that he's at right now. I don't think there have been some rumors.
And
but I'm
inclined to agree. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be a great NFL quarterback. He was not very good. I mean, he was like an okay quarterback coming into Indiana. And then this is a very quarterback, like mature quarterback-friendly system where he's not asked to do much beyond be a game manager.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
obviously.
He has an insane offensive line.
Yeah. He's got an insane offensive line. He's got one of the better running games in the country. And, I mean, when he needed to make.
And a safety blanket.
Yeah. When he needed to make plays, he 100% did. I mean, just look no further than that fourth and five touchdown, which was.
Play of the
game. I mean, I feel like every time I watch the video back, it gets like further and further away from the end zone, because I could have sworn it was like fourth and five from the 8. It was like fourth and five from the 14 or
something
like that.
Yeah, they were backed up. They had another like solid first. If he had
like,
only
he got
the first,
first
down, it would have been first and goal, but it would have been from like
and then
10
he,
yards
he got
away.
Like another like 10 yards after that, and I was like, this gets longer every time
times,
I look at it. Yeah,
took a big shot at like the 5.
No, did you see his arm?
His
arm was like beat up.
Oh right, I did see. Yeah, no, I saw like all the bruises on his arm during that play.
Bleeding the game during the game too.
Oh, that was ridiculous. Can we talk about that? Oh my goodness, they completely whiffed on a targeting like in the first quarter. Mendoza wound up bleeding out like from his lip for like the entire rest of the first half because they just totally whiffed on an unnecessary roughness that probably should have gotten that guy thrown out of the game too. Because it was forcible contact to the head or neck area with the top of the helmet. I mean, it was textbook targeting, but it was away from the play. Like, he'd already delivered the football, and I guess all the referees were looking over on the right side of the field. Meanwhile, Mendoza's in the backfield.
Just getting
beat destroyed.
I mean, I will say it was the only penalty.
Okay.
I turned the mic off.
Oh, I hit the off button instead of the cough button. Oh, wow. All right. You know, however many hours I've spent on this thing, and I still do.
That's funny.
It
would only happen in the last College Gridiron.
It would only happen. You know,
it's only fitting.
We're talking about, you know, how senior we are and how experienced.
That was our fourth and fifth, and we just came up
fourth
with
fourth and five.
Play.
Wow,
I can't
nice.
Believe
it. Fourth
and five.
Anyways, what I will say is the only way that would have been a penalty is through targeting.
Yeah,
because he was, it was a fake handoff, and he was in the play, so like. He's at that point a runner, and so it's not like roughing.
On like the assumption that he might have the football, I can get that.
It's the same reason you can tackle a running back if the quarterback does keep it.
Yeah.
So I mean, at that point, like, it's not roughing the passer. It's not really unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, I'm with you there,
but
definitely
it was 110% targeting. So like that's the only like, but the people who are like this is like, it's like, roughing the passer or unnecessary roughness. It's not.
You don't need to
but
spin
it
any
was,
other way.
Yeah, it was targeting. Call it what it is. At that point, he's just a running back.
It's just a mistargeting.
But, yeah. I mean, would it have changed the game? Obviously not, because they ended up winning anyways.
And it was way too early to tell as well. I think it just would have, like, I don't know. I guess it would have, like, if you were pulling for Indiana to win, it's like it would have been nice to get that call. At the same time, though, you think maybe it was motivation for Mendoza. Like, you just took a shot. You're bleeding. No call. Refs don't care. So now I'm going to go ball out. So now I have to prove it to him.
In your hometown, on your opponent's home turf.
Oh, and through – the story got even better. I didn't think it could, but it did. The linebacker, Wesley Besainth. I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name right. I'm not 100%, but Wesley Besainth. I think he almost knocked Mendoza out in the Miami-Cal game last year.
Whoa.
And then Mendoza ran through Besainth on that play to the end zone on 4th and 5.
Yeah.
Complete full circle.
This guy's life is a full circle.
This is like, this is the perfect story. Like, I don't understand what we did. What did we do?
Write a book?
What did we do in 2025 to be like blessed with a perfect Cinderella story to start 2026?
This just kind of proves.
Imagine what's going to happen in March Madness
for Indiana.
No, that would be insane.
That would be insane.
They are. I don't know.
If anybody were to do it would be Indiana.
What's also funny to me is how the state of Indiana had to pay for this. Like, they had to pay dearly for a 16-0 season. The first one since, what, 1898, I think it was? 1898 Yale.
those Bulldogs.
Technically speaking, Montana State did just go 16-0.
Oh, okay, yeah, FBS. Okay. Should say FBS. Yeah. We should specify.
There were 934 games.
We should definitely specify that because it should be well-respected that Montana State does that in the FCS, like, pretty much year in and year out.
Also, fun little note, technically, the only NCAA football national Division I football national champion is Montana State. Because, I mean, I'm not sure how many people know this, and this is just kind of a stupid little, you know, semantics and whatnot. But technically, the college football playoff is not an NCAA sanctioned event. It's not run by the NCAA, right? So it's
the CFP.
It's a
company.
The CFP is its own like LLC, whatever, registered. That's why, no matter what happened, Indiana would have received a share of a national title
because
they were the number one ranked team in the regular season. So they would have received a share. Miami or like there's like that's why. Teams like 2017 UCF can claim a national title because they were undefeated.
Yeah.
And so that's why there's always like 6 national titles every year is because technically speaking, even when it was like the BCS, also not an NCAA thing.
It's like the whole time in college football history, it's been like which organization do we collectively decide like, is like
the
most
AP
credible.
Team, and exactly. So that's why technically speaking, the only NCAA football Division I national title is Montana State. So little shout out to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, at this point, I think that was almost a month ago at this point, but that was a pretty incredible team.
It was, but I remember when that news kind of was breaking. I remember the game. I don't remember exactly how it went, but I just remember that game was, like, it was relatively competitive, I think.
It was relatively important.
I remember people being happy with it, which I was like, oh, okay.
People care.
FCS Natty, like, it's getting a little bit of attention. I've seen these guys on social media. I'm like blanking on the name right now. I think D1 Rejects. I don't know if you've ever seen these guys. They do like a college football or a college game day esque like desk show, but they just go to like the most random Division I football games that they could possibly find. But they also find like these really cool, weird like little fan bases that never get national attention because game day would not go there.
Right.
But then they find like these cool little spots and they. They do, like, the headgear stuff. It's basically a clone, but for social media. But I think it's cool. And it's small enough that, like, ESPN, I don't think, is going to, like, come down on their heads with, like, a lawsuit over it.
Probably not, but
because they're not competing at against ESPN at those game days. They're just they're filling a void, effectively.
They're just making their own fans happy.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing earlier this season about how angry people were that ESPN were going to the same big schools. And how they were wanting to more so of like that vibe going to the littler schools and
because they repeated a game day right this year
they did
so like when we're repeating what are we doing
like it's the same okay it's different numbers because it's later in the season.
And
big
like
deal.
Maybe
to, like,
don't maybe don't
game.
Take game day to your biggest names in like week three,
right?
When they play like their first conference game, you know, it's like there just needs to be like a little bit better planning in that regard because like they play in week to week based on what the best game winds up being. But at the same time, I feel like you got to take like a longer look into the future and kind of identify which games
are marquee,
might be big down the line that you might want to do game day at, and not like do that team earlier in the season just to save it down the stretch and to make sure that you don't double up. That's like, it's so weird how many things in college football just in general need to just be like tweaked a little bit here and there, like just across the sport in general.
Next year, the national title game is going to be January 28th.
What?
Or maybe not, maybe like 26th or 27th. But
still, that's late.
That's so late.
Very late.
Is that like the new solution for the schedule?
It's whatever happened in the schedule is the week before the Super Bowl, I guess, is what that is now. No, or 2 weeks, I guess.
Oh,
but
man.
Almost February is when
that's
the
like, that's
game
backwards.
Be.
They're going
backwards.
The wrong direction.
They're going 100% the wrong direction.
I saw one projection of a new CFP that would have conference championship games be Thanksgiving weekend, then first round and Selection Sunday be the Sunday after conference championship weekend.
I mean, I'm
the
say
next
that.
Week like first round games at home, second round games at home, not neutral site bowl games. Then semifinals are bowl games, and the national championship is on New Year's Day.
There's no reason if like soccer can start in end of July. There's no reason for their not for college football not to start August 1st.
August 1st,
like. Why not? And then at that point, if we're gonna take, you know, 15 different bye weeks in a season, there's no reason for the season not to start August 1st. You're done.
The other stipulation of that system that I described before was that week zero becomes week one.
Yeah, it should be.
So,
as well.
Like, you push week one games into that week zero slot and just, like, eliminate whatever week zero was.
Week zero's.
I never liked week zero.
Yeah, week zero is a stupid concept.
I've never been a big fan of week zero.
I mean, the original purpose of week zero was to like help out teams who played like Hawaii or because of the travel and whatnot, so they get the bye week after. Technically, you can play 13 games if you play Hawaii, or in Hawaii, I think is the actual technical stipulation there. But it's just stupid. The whole college football scheduling is stupid. There's no reason for the first game to be played, like, I think it was August 20th.
I mean, to be fair, the NFL preseason starts in early August.
Well, the NFL also plays 17 games in the regular season.
This is true.
Right? Like,
I could go mid-August.
Indiana played 16 games this
year. I'll meet you in the middle and go mid-August.
I'll say, like, second week of August. That second weekend back, you know, you want to get back into school and you immediately...
Nobody's back yet, though. Most schools don't come back until September.
Exactly, but I
now
mean,
they got to start earlier.
Well, they
sucks
go
to
like
suck.
The football players go as early as they need
right,
to go.
They got
the
camps.
football players are on campus May 28th.
Yeah, all summer.
Fair enough.
Much.
Like they're there. They're playing. Like
I mean, in terms of having like fans in the stands.
Fans.
Like
will
you
be
don't
there.
Want you don't want
fans will be
two
there.
Games.
Yeah, you'll no.
You don't
there
want
will
like,
be fans.
There are schools where the student body takes up a large portion of like the fan population.
Yeah, and
Thanksgiving
they
if
get
you
filled
have,
up.
If
they're,
you have
they
two
were there
games,
for the they were there for the. For the college football playoff games, and those are over Christmas break.
Yeah,
they're there for the Thanksgiving
games. I'm also not necessarily talking about like your like big name schools that make CFP runs every year and like have passionate fan bases that aren't made up of the students. I'm talking about like your mid table Big Ten, bottom of the SEC type teams. That
yeah, but those teams,
have large student populations. But if you play
teams,
two games before they come back,
still fill up.
They'll
the,
get like
they
some. I don't think they'll get like they, as much as they
the
usually.
If
do.
We're talking
state,
about
if it's like if there's nothing else to do in that state for that weekend, they're gonna go to see.
But
this football
for like,
game.
I think
go,
it's
take,
case by case. But I think
Rutgers,
there will definitely
we'll take Rutgers for example, right? Like they don't fill up their stadium anyways. So
I don't know. Have you seen a Rutgers crowd recently?
They suck. Who cares? All right. Well, let's
first
take,
half of the season they
Maryland,
usually show
then.
Out, but
we'll,
like
we'll
once
take
it's
Maryland
gone.
Then for example, Maryland doesn't fill up their stadium anyways. I don't think starting 2 weeks, the students who are going to go to the game anyways are going to go to the game. The alumni are going to go to the game. There's probably more alumni
it's
are going to go to the
weather.
Game no matter what. Like the for these massive state schools, they have so many alumni that they're going to be at the game no matter what. It's really not that factor. And then for a team like Northwestern, they don't fill up their stadium anyways, but they're also in Chicago, so like that's something to do. They're going to be full. Well,
who knows? They're building a new facility, so they might... Like,
I can't... That stadium's going to be beautiful.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It might attract more fans because the stadium's just so nice. Yeah. State-of-the-art.
Also, it'll be better weather than, you know, playing a college football championship in January
that is
when
a good
it's
point.
Brick outside. You know, people want to tailgate football. That's what they associate with it.
Although,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Starting in August... The earlier, the better. You can wear shorts.
So then, when's the natty then? How much earlier is it still New Year's Day?
Like New Year's Day?
Or does that leave? Does starting in early August leave a space for a bye? Like between.
It's like Christmas.
I mean, the national title on what?
The 17th? No.
The 19th was
the national title, I believe. And
this
so
Monday, MLK Day.
Yeah. So the 19th. Wait, was that really?
It was the 19th.
Yeah,
I know.
This has been a long week.
Right?
Wow, it feels like that was a long time ago.
It feels like it's been short days.
Yeah,
long
that game was on Monday.
So
I mean,
the reverse could be true. Like,
I've had a bunch of long.
Tomorrow already being Friday doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But also, I feel like Monday was a year ago.
A year and also yesterday.
But so if you start August 8th instead of August 20th, then the national title game. If you move conference champions up a week, you basically remove the importance of Army Navy week, unfortunately.
And Heisman week.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm not even that.
And then I'm not going to object to this as much as I was
because those first like two or three games are all going to
be
non-conference
anyway.
It's not like they're not even as high leverage unless it's like a good non-conference game. You know, like,
and then people are going to be
like
there
a ranked, and then they will show up because it's.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, and this may just be me being from the South and being a little bit biased to how I view college football. If I think people that were going to go to these games are going to go whether or not it takes place August 7th versus August 20th.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't think it really affects that much.
I'll agree.
At that point, you're playing two non-conference games without students on campus.
I'm going to say you're right,
and I just don't think it'll affect that much.
I have a northern attitude to college football.
Will Syracuse be as full? I don't know.
No.
I don't think so.
I can probably guarantee you no,
but also, do people at Syracuse go to the football games, really?
Think about the weather. It's
they
also
were
so
this
cold.
Year they
Not this
they
year because this year. After Angeli got hurt, it was over. Yeah. Last year, though, a little bit. They, like, made a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
Until, who was their... Their loss down the end was
that
Miami.
Kyle McCord. They lost to Miami.
It was the...
Kyle McCord also threw 5 interceptions that one game.
Yeah.
But he also, like,
that was
the single season
finally
passing
turned
record.
Into a pumpkin again.
Yeah. I don't know. That was... Kyle McCord had an interesting season. Was that really only last year, or was that 2 years ago? That was last year.
Yeah.
It feels like so long ago.
Wow. Everything feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I just feel old.
But anyway, Mendoza's going to need a Charlie Becker in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think it, like, because earlier we were talking about how he might translate to the league, and sure, he's mobile. He's a pretty good sized kid, so I think he'll take hits well in the NFL. But they'll probably try to steer him away from that, like a la Jackson. Although I don't think John Harbaugh is going to steer him away from that. It does not seem like he has any intention of making Jackson Dart play any differently so far. But still, like, Mendoza kind of
controversial.
He needs that safety blanket, though, I think. A guy he can just throw it up to and, like,
I'm
going to
say
Becker's
something
down
controversial
there somewhere.
About what you just said.
Yeah.
It's really about
Dart and Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart sucks.
Oh, whatever.
I'm really excited for...
A&M fan, by the way.
For people to realize... I don't know what that has to do with Jackson Dart.
Because he went to Ole Miss?
Yeah, I couldn't care less about Ole Miss.
Whatever. It just means more guys.
I could not care less about Ole Miss. Jackson Dart's not that good. I mean,
he said he wants to go on Dancing with the Stars. And
he
I don't
just
think he realizes
got to the league.
He's not Tyler Shuck, I'll tell you that much.
He scored 20 plus touchdowns his rookie year.
All he does is get hit in the head,
dude. He's
he got evaluated for 5 concussions this year.
He's gonna be a vegetable next year.
He'll be the first quarterback to rock a Guardian cap. It's fine.
Hey, normalize it.
Why not? Then he can still just barrel through people. Give one to Scadaboo too.
I think Scadaboo needs one way more. That poor thing. Oh, my God.
Guy doesn't have a brain. I don't think a Guardian cap's going to do much for him.
He needs a better stream camera.
He needs a job.
I'm just looking at this box score now, trying to come up with, like, what else from this game stood out. I mean, Indiana running the ball was pretty much exactly the same as they usually are.
Except it really wasn't. They ran the ball for like 2.9 yards per carry.
Oh, as a team, sure. But I mean, Kalen Black still got his 4.6.
Yeah.
He still looked good every time he was out there. Hemby got bottled up a little bit, but he was still getting like okay gains.
Wasn't as gritty as I would imagine a whole national championship team.
Mark Fletcher was absolutely gross.
Mark Fletcher, the entire college football playoff, was insane. That guy made himself a lot of money.
Two tutties in the natty over 100 yards.
That guy made himself a lot of money over the last 4 weeks. Or
that
57-yard
run was
unreal. Wasn't he the
first
Kane to go hug Mendoza after the game?
I believe so.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
He also punched a guy after the game.
Yeah. Oh. He punched a...
Duality of man.
Yeah.
On my turf?
That's actually crazy, dude.
Yeah. I mean, all you hear is about how great of a kid he is, and then he goes and punches someone after the game.
I don't know. Who knows? We don't know what was said. Maybe
allegedly some stuff was said about his father.
Maybe he was antagonized a little bit.
Has passed away.
If he's standing up for himself, maybe it's not as, like, maybe not as much blame can be put on him as we want to here. But
he's a good football player. That's all I know.
Oh, 100%.
He definitely played like he wanted something.
thinks he's on the team award? Does that go to Michael Irving?
Maybe.
But shout out to him. He was at every single game and was involved in like every single sideline antics.
You know what? I'm gonna say something
with like the belt and the water coolers. Yeah.
He wants to be a Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, but that's not even that ridiculous. I think that would be like that would be a cool role if you have if there's a school that has like.
Do you think he can teach a class?
Maybe.
Michael Irving?
Yeah.
You think he's got a class to teach at UMiami?
Football analytics. I don't know. Maybe they could come up with something. Yeah. They came up with a job title for McConaughey.
Director of Culture. See, it works for
him.
And
he does a bang-up job, too.
I don't think Michael Irving could be the Director of Culture.
Yeah, imagine plays Texas non-conference like in 2 years, and it's just, like we get like Matthew McConaughey and Michael Irving like a little like
that's
pre-fight shot.
That's
like, come
the graphic.
On. If more school,
hard,
like,
yeah.
Kurt Cignetti is basically that. Like once he retires, I imagine he'll just stick around.
He'll just like always be seen with a Hoosier beer
he won't.
On the sideline.
He won't because he's from the Saban tree. So we all know that once Kurt Cignetti's career at Indiana comes to a close after he wins his 8th national title, he'll just kind of go home and then maybe reappear on College Game Day here and there.
I don't know. I feel like he could go maybe not every game because Matthew McConaughey, I think, goes to both home and away. Yeah. I think Cignetti
he's also got a lot
stay.
More money than...
True.
That's true.
Cignetti is a man of the people, though.
Yeah, people want him there.
One of the first things he did when he got there was go to an IU basketball game and then like hype up the crowd.
Yeah.
And then trash talk Ohio State and Michigan. So
that's the way to a Midwesterner's heart. I feel.
I mean, he just won the entire state
and
of
you
Indiana,
saw, and you saw
probably
that
Iowa.
If you actually do Google Kurt Cignetti now, it says he won.
I loved that.
Isn't that
oh
awesome?
My gosh! Shout out Google. They never get a shout out, but shout out Google for that.
That's so
that
funny.
Little number. Yeah, he won.
Yep, he won. Real. See, I love it when Google and like big companies use some pop culture to make things.
Oh, Adidas had
again.
A field day with this national championship. Both schools are Adidas schools. Oh my! They were using every opportunity they got. They were dunking on Nike. Just every single time, it's just another jam right on Nike's head. Is unbelievable.
So do we think that that next year is going to be another Big Ten school? We're on a Big Ten
next year Indiana could very well repeat.
With who?
They'll find somebody. Mm. All they need is like a half-competent quarterback and most of the offensive line to stick around. I don't know where they're at in terms of their offensive line and how many of them are graduating.
Alberto's going to Georgia Tech now.
Yeah, true.
He wasn't going to start there anyway.
No.
He wasn't going to start anyway.
Who is going to be their quarterback next year?
Right.
Do we know?
I believe they committed someone, but...
Because that might determine, like, pretty much... I mean, it should determine pretty much everything. I also don't know the status of the running backs either. Hemby and Black.
Oh, yeah. They got Josh Hoover from TCU.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
So they'll be fine. They'll reload.
That's what I'm saying. They don't need, like... But that's been Indiana's whole MO. They don't go after like 4 or 5 stars, the biggest name that you can take off the board in the transfer portal. All they need is like a Island of Misfit Toys, and Kurt Cignetti just molds them into national champions. That's like that's a proven strategy. We know he does this now.
The Josh Hoover transfer makes no sense to me. He was, I think, like 2,500 yards away from breaking the all-time TCU passing record. I think like maybe 20 touchdowns. He's been there already for 4 years. I don't understand why you transfer there. You could be a legend at TCU.
Yeah, go down in history.
Okay. You're going to get the same amount of money at TCU as you are. I don't.
Yeah.
I hate this. Like,
the transfer portal
is
kind of...
Be a legend at a school.
Is he winning a natty at TCU?
I don't think he's going to win a natty next year. They're losing a lot at Indiana. They're losing basically that whole offensive line.
They're losing the offensive line?
Almost all of them, I believe, are seniors.
See, that's going to be tough.
I believe 3 out of the 5 offensive linemen were JMU guys.
Okay. So they're out of eligibility, probably.
I know they're losing a lot on the defensive line. I mean, it's going to take a lot to reload. Obviously, Cignetti's an incredible coach, but...
Then maybe not a repeat, but I think they'll definitely they're not going to go anywhere.
No, they'll go deep.
Say, like, all you need is a coach like Cignetti. Like, Saban's Alabama changed year to year. Yes, they got top recruits and did it, like, the old-fashioned... like the old-fashioned way, like you would do it on the college football game. But, like, I think Cignetti, whatever he's doing, he knows. He knows something we don't, because he's just scraping, like, the middle of the barrel and finding absolute gems left and right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, but I guess they are going to have to replace a lot next year if they want to make a run at the repeat. I wonder how long the winning streak keeps going.
Not long. Like, I'm...
4 games.
Four games.
I don't know what their schedule looks like, but I believe they play Ohio State week 5.
Oh no! So yeah, that's no. Being in the Big Ten is so difficult. So Ohio State's never going away.
Mm-hmm. No,
for like the rest of time. Michigan might take a while to get back up.
The Big Ten's not that deep. They got
Penn State's gonna. Find a way again, sure. But then you got Oregon, who Oregon's Dante Moore's coming back, so it's probably going to run through Oregon again. Washington was good those first couple of years, but since then they've just fallen off a cliff.
Yeah.
And USC was ranked multiple times last year. Like, those West Coast teams are taking ranked spots away from some of the other teams in the Big Ten that used to, like, sneak their way into the rankings. Like, somebody out west, a weird, like, Wisconsin or Nebraska on, a year when they're good,
mm-hmm.
You know? Even the Big Ten, it wasn't like
it
a Big Ten championship game, but
year.
I was talking to my roommate. His cousin went to Northwestern and plays for the Titans now, but so he's like kind of a Northwestern fan. He was saying like 4 years ago, maybe he remembers maybe 5 years ago when his cousin was still at Northwestern. He remembers watching a Big Ten regular season game between Michigan State and Northwestern when both those teams were in the top 25. Like, and now they're just completely gone. I think it was 2019. Not like 100% sure, because I think his cousin got drafted in like 2022, 2023 maybe. It was Peter Skoronski. He was 8th overall.
Yeah.
The Titans,
I believe it was 2019.
I think it was
8th.
Either way, I just think like the Big Ten used to get some of those like mid schools in the conference to sneak into the top 25, but now with the teams out west, those guys kind of got squeezed out. But I still think the Big Ten is super deep.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't get like it's so hard for those teams in the middle to like keep their record clean without matching up with an Ohio State or a Penn State or a Michigan, and you wind up with that loss in conference that like yeah, it's a good loss, but you probably had another weird loss to Minnesota or. You definitely probably lost to Iowa because they beat pretty much everybody in the Big Ten except for the big ones. It's hyper competitive. I love the Big Ten. Northern football.
We're all giggling on the inside.
It means slightly less.
Slightly.
But that's a lot when it means more.
Yeah.
If it means more in the SEC, slightly less than more is still a lot.
Yeah. And then, you know, the SEC's been on a 3.
This is 4 natties in a row or 3 in a row for the Big Ten?
Three.
I think
it's 3 in a row for the Big Ten.
Yes.
Three
in a row. Okay. Still, 3 in a row for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Does the SEC have an answer?
That's what everybody's wondering. That's the question on simply everyone's
Georgia
mind.
Was supposed to be the answer.
Georgia did not pick up.
No. They tripped over themselves
Kirby
against Ole Miss.
Back. Kirby will be back. Don't worry. He's not going anywhere. I don't know what...
Smart's, he's another one of those... He's like a Saban, like a Cignetti now, who, like, every single year he's a good enough coach that his team will be in the running. They catch enough of a hot streak. They'll probably go to the SEC title game pretty much every year that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get, like, a couple of weird losses. I don't know. Texas could have a pretty good year next year.
They could.
Because Arch is not getting drafted, right?
No, he's if he was smart, he'd probably go one if he entered, but... He's going to stay.
No.
The last, he would go first overall if he entered the draft this year.
Over Mendoza.
Yes. The last nine games that Arch Manning played were better than anything Fernando Mendoza ever put on tape.
Like, that's.
Okay, yeah. That's like,
he's a really good quarterback, but his father would never let him.
What do you got, Thomas?
Yeah, what is that take? Like,
I'm sorry. I hate Texas as more than anyone else in this room. And I'm sorry. The last probably 8 to 9 games that Arch Manning put on tape were better than anything Fernando Mendoza has ever put on tape.
I don't know. Like, he just looked lost against, like, just mediocre college defenses. Like,
he did, yes, but...
Imagine if he plays the Texans. Like, he's... I mean, he's going to
look
any worse rookie than C.J. Stroud.
Any rookie
like,
quarterback who plays the Texans is going to look bad.
C.J. Stroud's going to look bad against anybody anyways, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Also, here's another thing that has nothing to do with college football, but the Texas Rangers just traded for Mackenzie Gore.
Oh, all right.
So.
Throw a little random Rangers bit there.
When's 5-on-3 recording again?
5-on-3 is going in like a half an hour, actually.
My God.
Texas Rangers, not the New York Rangers.
Oh.
Also, yeah.
Wait, obsessed.
I decided to answer the question and not address the...
Not
address the...
I'm sorry. I guess I could have let that go. That's I'm sorry. Could have let that one go.
No, but the Yankees just signed Bellinger.
That's a terrible contract. I'm sorry.
You know what's a terrible contract? Bo Bichette to the Mets.
I don't hate that as much as I hate the Bellinger contract.
I'm gonna stop talking about MLB contracts now.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I would go for like 10 minutes about Bo Bichette and why he doesn't deserve the money he got with the Mets.
But this is a college football podcast.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to opt out after one
Miami.
Year, so it doesn't
really I was remarkably close, I think, in my predict. What do you guys remember what your predictions were for this game?
I think I said like 30. I think I said 34 to 21.
Okay.
Or something like
so
that.
That's on
I
think maybe
I said 38 to 27. I said like something.
Okay.
But I picked Indiana. I know that.
Yeah, I think we all picked Indiana.
We all picked Indiana.
And I know I said Indiana was a score 30 something.
We had 27,
and I said Miami was
going to
be like a mid 20.
Yeah.
But
I might have said 38-24 Indiana.
Okay.
I said it wasn't really that close.
I said 28-13, which I thought was interestingly close, but not like.
I mean, not far off, really.
No,
I mean,
but Miami like outscored my prediction. I thought they would really have a hard time scoring. And honestly, they did. They didn't score in the first half and then scored 14 of their 21 in the fourth quarter.
The offense didn't look bad. It just didn't.
Indiana's defense was just locked down.
They just didn't put together in enough time. Like,
also, that band. Can we talk about the band? Indiana's band. Oh, my goodness.
You're a fan?
Yes. Big fan. They started playing like the theme, like the Mordor theme from Lord of the Rings and like Isengard. You know, like pretty much all the evil, like all of the bad guy music from Lord of the Rings. They threw that all into their repertoire, and they were playing it on like every second and third down when Indiana was on defense. If I was on offense, I would fear for my life. That was actually so scary, but really awesome
for
Indiana.
Yeah, and it works. If it works, it works.
And shout out ESPN. They always do a great job on college football when it comes to getting the band involved.
Yeah.
They got a mic over there. The band is always really loud after they score, and you can hear them like over the crowd. They do a great job.
Kind of like women's basketball yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little loud in there.
Oh, my God. It was really loud in that building.
Yeah. Wild
here,
yes,
it was loud here,
yes, but it was 11 a.m. and there were a bunch of kids from like Bronx area schools in the building.
It was
so
kids' day,
yes,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Does it make it any less quiet?
No, but the kids had to go back to school and the game went to overtime, so the gym was like only half full
it
by the time
deserted.
It was overtime,
like a
period.
Morning practice,
so
again.
They missed
and
out
then,
on
and
the
then Fordham
score.
Shot 0 of 11.
Oh, so you didn't even get the 67 on kids' day.
No, because St. Louis got there in overtime and Fordham went 0 of 11 from the floor.
That
in the
sucks.
Overtime period.
Ooh,
so
horrendously poor.
From the floor. They had a couple free throws.
All right. Well, I feel like we've departed pretty heavily from college football.
Yeah, we've been like getting back to it, I think. Yeah. You know, but like why not? You know, I mean, it's like It's what is likely your guys' last episode. And we've always been a little eclectic on this show. Oh, we go all over the place.
Oh, have we? I mean, I will say it's been a great season. Obviously,
man,
we always have fun on this show.
Now, I really feel like we just did like the season opening episode. I don't know. This season like went by so quick, and it was great.
It was fun.
So great.
Oh, fun fact: ESPN has a transfer portal tracker on the website.
Nice.
Oh, it sucks. It's not.
Oh, never mind.
But, okay. Like, that makes me upset. Genuinely.
Yeah. Is what it is. Oh, Darian Mensa. Speaking of eclectic.
He'd be great for Indiana.
Darian Mensa, I don't know where he's transferring, but apparently Duke is suing him.
He's being sued because he signed a contract for, I believe, $4.5 million.
For 4 years.
Exclusive NIL rights for Duke.
Oh, so Duke only wants Darian Mensa in blue.
Yes. And so he signed it. He registered for classes.
He didn't read the fine print.
He then I believe, was in contact with Miami as many as like 6 hours before he first told his coach, and I believe almost 12 hours before he officially entered the portal.
Oh, okay.
And then in order to enter the portal, the school you're at has to put your name into the portal.
Mm-hmm.
So Duke was like, we're not going to put your name in the portal. You signed a contract with us.
Yeah.
They now have put his name in the transfer portal, so he can technically transfer.
So,
but he can't register for classes, and he can't play football there. So
Duke?
Anywhere.
Oh.
Other than Duke.
Oh. Yeah.
So he has a temporary restraining order right now, so he can transfer.
Yeah.
But he can't actually transfer because he can't play football anywhere else because his
and he can't register anywhere
else. And it's too late to register now.
Oh.
Yeah. You didn't know that ad drop was yesterday?
He would have to.
Well, yeah. I just didn't need to add or drop anything.
Well, Miami, it's too late to register for classes at Miami. That's where I know, and that's where he's going.
Yeah.
So he would have to wait until next semester, or the summer semester, technically, to register.
Yeah.
And he can't play football until whatever the ends up lawsuit happens. I think what's going to end up happening is he's just going to have to give back a bunch of money. Duke's going to get probably some recovery damages from
Miami. I doubt
from
this
Miami.
Goes to, like, actual civil
Duke's,
court.
Duke's
this
gonna,
is settlement all day.
Duke's going to get probably some payoff from Miami. And then Miami's going to have a QB, and Duke's not going to have a QB. And at the end of the day, Duke's football team's going to suck next year because they don't have a QB now.
But this is another example of how completely screwed up college football has gotten with this stuff. Because now we've gone from, like, players who want to go to a school to get their education while also playing football at this school.
Preach.
To schools and players now being pitted against each other on a legal basis over, like, something as petty as, like, who's paying who how much.
Right.
When it's literally supposed to be about them learning something. Playing football.
They're students first. Okay, that's what I think is the most important. Like,
I didn't,
they have
but,
academic
but
advisors.
Are they? But are they?
They should be.
Nominally. That's the reason they invented the word student-athlete, was to get people to look the other way when these athlete-students get, like, recruited to schools to play football and, like, kind of go to class. And now it's just, like, blowing up in an obvious way, where it's like, oh, okay, like, we knew this was going on, but now it's obvious the only thing that, like, you care about when it comes to these guys is what kind of football production they can give you rather than, like, what kind of an actual education or a college experience this person gets.
Right.
So you think Darian Mensa wanted Duke to sue him?
No.
Like, no. But for whatever reason, after winning an ACC championship at Duke, he decided that he didn't need to be there anymore.
Yeah.
It's a weird decision by Mensa, but I get it in a world where, like, Duke is not going to win a national championship. They got left out of the playoffs this year as a conference champion. That actually might be reason enough to jump ship. But now you have Duke being like, oh, no, you don't, buddy. You either owe us money or you play for us. And it's now like,
that's obviously not the case that
it's not about the books anymore.
Yeah.
We got to get back to the books, guys.
Just like,
because otherwise these quarterbacks are not going to be smart once they get to the NFL. They're just going to know how to throw the ball and then run around.
Yeah.
Oh. College football. It's a great great sport, but it's a sad sport.
They're also just like kids our age.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
At like
it
the
is
fall?
That.
That's probably I think that's why this week feels so long, because the college football season's just been like an absolute like a wild ride as it usually is, and now the ride has finally come to a stop, and it just feels like a dead stop. And now like I watched TGL on ESPN on Tuesday.
That's fun sometimes. Not really.
Sometimes.
Honestly, that's some bad golf. That's another thing.
There's still hockey and basketball, of course.
There's college hoops now.
College hoops, true. Can lock in on that. But
and, like, college game day is still doing
personally, that. You mentioned the Rangers earlier. I'm mentally and internally counting down until pitchers and catchers report in February.
Billy's time. group trip to Billy's. I'm making it a mandatory social event, actually.
All right.
Everybody. I think the last mandatory social event.
You didn't go to.
I didn't go to. I know that. Not a lot of people did.
I think I was there. But there were people there.
What? What?
I'm sorry. Well, no, wait.
Wow.
I would have gone.
Well, how would you know? You weren't there.
I have shooters, as they say. As they say.
Oh, also the whole Lane Kiffin thing happened this year. And almost took a back burner to everything else that happened this season. We don't need to talk about it anymore. But I just think, like, so much stuff happened this year. Like, sure, good and bad, but I think plenty more good. It was a really entertaining season.
It was a great season.
It was a great season. It'll be talked about for a few years to come. Everybody will be talking about
all-time classic Ole Miss versus Georgia beef all year.
Yes.
Right. I mean, whole.
I'll tell you
regular season playoffs, man.
It was a great season, great story. It'll be talked about for a long time. Unfortunately, it will not be talked about by us, though. Because this is our last show.
Stop.
Tucker might be able to talk about it next year.
I'll be around.
If Thomas wants to call in from across the Great Blue Sea, maybe he might talk about it. But for myself, for Tucker, for Isabella, and for Thomas, it's been a blast. We've had a great time talking college football together and be able to bring you what's going on in the world. And we will, I guess next year you'll have a whole new crew. Thanks
whole
for
new season.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
26 and 27.